We're going to be looking at the subject, New Things in the Life of a Believer. We've arrived at the subject that we have an inheritance. How many of you have ever received some type of an inheritance from someone? Let me see your hands. Most of you have received an inheritance. Keep in mind when we're speaking about what we have in Jesus, any earthly inheritance totally pales in comparison. Speaking of earthly inheritances, they certainly can be squandered, can't they? Think of the prodigal son when he received his inheritance. Then, of course, the elder brother as well. But he squandered it, and it didn't last very long. You know, studies have been made on the subject of inheritances and how long they last, and it was determined that the average inheritance is spent out, whether for good or bad, within 2 years. Isn't that interesting? And the amount doesn't really have anything to do with it. Interesting. You know, I think of the illustration from across the pond. Ken Rigby is across the pond as we speak. Did you know that when Princess Diana died in 1997, yes, it was that long ago, she left a sizable inheritance for her two sons, William and Harry, in the amount of $20.4 million. With investments that they certainly made and with interest, that amount grew during the teen years and the years in their 20s, and it's grown to about $31.1 million. But there was one proviso regarding the actual giving out of that inheritance. The provision was that William and Harry were only able to inherit this considerable estate only after they reached their 30th birthday. Perhaps a great deal of wisdom involved in that decision on the part of Princess Di, as we like to call her. In June 2012, William turned 30, and he inherited his portion of the citizenship. Harry will inherit his portion on his 30th birthday as well. The estate is theirs. It has been promised to them. Their name is on it, but it's been set aside for them. Well, we're going to be looking at the subject of our inheritance that we possess, but it's in Christ Jesus and the great blessing that surpasses anything that this world can ever afford. And we certainly have seen in contrast, metaphorical as well as simile fashion, we have seen that this world cannot compare with the things that are ours in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be looking at new things in the life of a believer, and today we have an inheritance waiting for us. Yes, believe it or not, you are very rich in Christ Jesus. Do you have your Bibles ready? See, it doesn't matter what I say. What God says is why we're here. And we want to look at what God's Word has to say about our inheritance. And there's four key scriptures that we're going to look at specifically. The first one is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 11. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to this wonderful passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, where the word inheritance is found. Notice it says, speaking of Jesus, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's the word. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Notice, we have been predestined. The word predestination is also found in verse 5, and it refers to the believer's ultimate conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. God has predestined that you are going to receive as part of your inheritance a glorified body. Isn't that wonderful? We've been predestinated, verse 11, according to his purpose. And just as in the case of Princess Di, as she had purposed that her two children would be heirs, so has our Heavenly Father purposed. When did that purpose take place? Well, let's take a look at verse 4 of Ephesians 1. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And God has given to us this great, great inheritance that is ours. Turn to the second scripture, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. You know, I'm glad that my inheritance is based on the Lord's decisions, because so many times we put our finances into the hands of men. Sometimes we can lose a lot of money when we put our minds and hopes on men or stock markets or bonds, whoever they may be. And yet, you know, you bank and you trust in the Lord, and he is the one who is going to keep and watch over our inheritance. And there's no Ponzi scheme with God. You keep that in mind. He will be the one that will give us our inheritance. Colossians 3, notice what it says in verse 24. After that wonderful verse that we know about so often, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. I like that word, heartily. That means out of the soul. Wow. Out of the soul. Not legalism, but relationship. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive. And here, our inheritance is described as a reward. Why? Because we serve the Lord Jesus. We serve as a priest would serve. And we have an inheritance, the Word of God tells us. And we are to serve the Lord, and it is a reward of his inheritance. Colossians 3:24. Then let me take you to another scripture. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse 15. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 15. Wonderful scriptures. And here we have a glorious contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant that we covered during our series on the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant," or the New Testament, "that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of" what kind of an inheritance, folks? An eternal inheritance. The blood of bulls and goats mentioned in verse 13 could never grant us the great inheritance which is ours through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at another scripture in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Several things are said to describe the inheritance that is ours. And we're going to be looking at some of these things in a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a, literally, a living hope. We have a living hope. It's not a dying hope. It's not a hope that's dependent upon the stock market. It's not a hope that's dependent upon the promises of men and the promises of governors and presidents and national elections. It's a living hope because we have a resurrected Savior from the dead. And our citizenship is vouchsafed, it's protected and secured by Jesus Christ, who is living, who is at the right hand of the Father. And notice how our inheritance is described. Number one, the inheritance in verse 4 is incorruptible. We'll be explaining that in a minute. Number two, it's undefiled. Number three, it fades not away. And number four, it's reserved. It's waiting for you. Isn't that wonderful? Those things in verse 4 that are described for us. Now, we're going to be looking at four realities regarding our inheritance in Christ Jesus. First of all, we're reminded in 1 Peter 1:4 that our inheritance is incorruptible. In other words, it cannot tarnish. You know, the book of James reminds us of people that are heaping together gold for the last days. And it's cankered and it's rusted and temporary, and men can break through and steal. But praise God, our inheritance is never able to be done away. It's incorruptible. And interestingly enough, if you look at verse 23, not only is it incorruptible, but further described in verse 23, we're saved not of corruptible seed. You know, every one of you are here physically because you are the seed of your parents. You are the seed of your parents, and you have biological life because life comes from life, biogenesis. And when the egg and the seed of the sperm joined together, that egg was fertilized, and you received physical life. And through the multiplication of those cells, you became a little baby in your mother's womb. And you have continued developing. And some of us are still growing. Maybe not always in the right ways, but we're all growing. And interestingly enough, we are here because of a physical seed. But you know what? What's the culmination of that physical seed? Someday, it's going to die. It's the Adamic seed. But when the Bible says we are born again by the incorruptible seed, that seed was implanted into us the day that we got saved. And it bore not physical life, but spiritual life. And one of the reasons why this man right here is someday going to die or be raptured, whichever one takes place first. But one of the reasons why I'm a mortal is because my dad is mortal. And my dad is now gone. He died, went home to be with the Lord 2007. But you know what? His seed could only produce a physical seed, and it was mortal. But when I was born again, I received God's seed within me. And that seed that I have within me is immortal. And you need to be saved and know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're going to be eternally with him because you have been born again. Look at verse 23. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And it utilized the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And notice, the word of God, as well as that incorruptible seed, lives and abides forever. I have a question for you today, dear listener. Where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. Have you received the incorruptible seed of God's word that lives and abides forever and receives that wonderful inheritance? Our inheritance in Christ is incorruptible, and no man can ever take it away. The stock market can't impact it. Whether it's a bull market or a bear market makes no difference, because God's promises transcend anything to do with men. Let's take a look at another reality of our inheritance for Christ. You remember 1 Peter 1:4 used another term. It used the word undefiled. You know, a lot of people receive inheritances and it defiles them. Not long ago, I was walking down the street with Joseph, my grandson, through Jimmy. And he had gotten a helium balloon that Grandma got him at the dollar store. And he was so proud of that helium balloon, he would not part from it. So here I am, here's Grandpa walking Joseph and walking Samson. And there's a big helium balloon towering over both of us. Well, one of the neighbors was walking by, and I just said, "That's okay. We're with the Publisher's Clearinghouse, and we're just going to go to a home and give them an inheritance that they're going to get. Oh, please come on over to my home." And Joseph was enjoying that little helium balloon. But you know, a lot of people get the Publisher's Clearinghouse, but it defiles them because they misuse it. They use the money to get them involved in vices. And oftentimes the money that is inherited by whatever means can be a source of contamination. How many of you are young enough to remember that program on TV called The Millionaire? And all of you remember when he'd knock on that door and he would say, "I have a gift for you, tax-free. $1 million. And what was the rest of the story that developed? The havoc that it characteristically brought into the lives of everyone involved, whether it be the recipients or even children, and how it affected them. Our inheritance will never, ever be defiled. One of the reasons why is that we thank the Lord that he's carrying it for us. He is taking care of it for us. It's undefiled. Look at Hebrews, if you will, chapter 7 and verse 26. You know, the book of Hebrews speaks about the sinlessness of our Savior, who brought our once for all salvation into our hearts and lives. Hebrews 7:26 reminds us that our Redeemer was unspoiled and undefiled, and that's why he could provide that great inheritance for us on the crosswork of Calvary. It says here in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, we have such a high priest. He became for us, he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Our inheritance is undefiled because our Savior was undefiled. And you know, I remember when I was a young man, about Brian's age that Universal Studios puts out all of these theatrical presentations and the Jesus Christ Superstar and all of this, denying the impeccability of Jesus Christ. And many of you in your college years remember how they made Jesus dress into a clown. And when asked why they did that, well, nobody would take it seriously, they said. So therefore, we had him dress in that fashion. And we see today that so many think that Jesus Christ was just a man. No, he must have been that harmless, undefiled, holy, certainly separate from sinners, our holy Savior. Undefiled. Now, speaking of this matter of being undefiled, and you know, our reservation in heaven that we have and our citizenship, look at Revelation 21 and verse 27. God's word says that in that place, the new heaven and the new earth, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither works abomination or makes a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So you see, our inheritance is undefiled. And throughout eternity, there'll be no defilement in the new heaven and the new earth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 gives us a third description. Not only is our inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, but notice it is eternal in the heavens. If you'll turn to that 1 Peter passage for me, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, notice the Word of God describes this matter of fading not away. Our inheritance fades not away. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. All flesh is as grass. I'm reading from 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25. Flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which is by the gospel preached unto you. Our inheritance is eternal. And the Lord said in Revelation 21 and verse 5, behold, I make all things new. And that's what is awaiting for us. Our inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's eternal, and then finally, number four, it's reserved for us. Reserved in heaven. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 10, that Abraham looked for that city whose builder and whose maker was God. Are you looking for that great city? Yes, we have an inheritance that we are awaiting for, and we thank the Lord. Abraham looked for that city, but keep in mind also that the Holy Spirit guarantees it for us. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, God's word reads, speaking of the Holy Spirit, who has also sealed us, giving us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what an earnest was? An earnest was a down payment. It was a seal, a guarantee of transaction. And here the Lord is guaranteeing by his promise, by his down payment of the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 reminds us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our salvation and our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. The Holy Spirit guarantees it, and God protects it. If you look at John chapter 17, this great high priestly prayer of our Savior, John 17 and verse 11, here the Word of God says, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. We were reading about verses on eternal security in Sunday school. Here's another good one among many others. Believers are spoken of as a gift from the Father to the Son. Wow. You're not going to lose your salvation because God's not going to take a gift back. You would never do that. Oh, I know that there are a lot of people that take their gifts back the day after the holiday season, but we're not going to lose our salvation. God says, I gave this gift to Jesus Christ. And notice that they may be one as we are. We're protected. In John chapter 10, a couple of chapters back, the Bible tells us that the Lord is protecting us. We are his inheritance. John chapter 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life. Here's another double negative that we were looking at in Sunday school. Ume. They shall no never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So you see, Abraham looked for that. The Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. God protects it. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 is a wonderful scripture. If children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Literally, the phrase a pair means since. Since that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So therefore, since all of this is true, we can endure whatever trials may come our way in life. We were blessed during our offertory by a brother, Carl Engler. But no news to you. You know that he went through trials and testings in the passageway from here to heaven. But we thank the Lord that whatever we may have to go through in this life, keep in mind, God is in control. And I want to leave you before I close with two verses that remind us that we can endure whatever trials may come our way. The best is yet to come, folks. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18, for this cause, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man may perish, that's the Adamic seed that we received in our physical birth, the inner man, it's renewed day by day, that seed of the Lord that brought our salvation. For our light affliction, you thought it was so bad, the Bible says it's light. Our light affliction, it's just for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. That's our inheritance. While we look not at the things which are seen, which are the trials and testings and this earthly proving ground, but we focus on the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then finally, one last scripture, going to the book of the unveiling, Revelation 21 and verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, dear folks, we have an inheritance, and that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, it's eternal, and it's reserved for his children. Let's thank the Lord together. Father, we thank you that we can come before you with the assurance that your word is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, I do pray for many that are suffering, not only in our congregation, but many that have been lifted up for special prayer this day. Oh, Heavenly Father, may they come to know the one, Lord, that truly can give an inheritance that will never pass away. And Lord, we especially pray for Tim and for Ralph and for their salvation, Heavenly Father. We come before you for many, even within our own households, and children, grandchildren, whatever the case might be, even great-grandchildren. Many that are going to hear the gospel through the presentation at Vashti's funeral on Tuesday that do not know Christ as Savior. Lord, the day is late. It is far spent, and many are not saved. May we pray and do everything that we can to give out the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.